Before service, I had the pleasure, I saw this video, and it's from Bethel Church out west, and they did not release this video for 6-7 years. They didn't want people to, you know, how many of you know when God does things, he wants you to rejoice in what he does, but he doesn't want you to start worshiping the manifestation or the gift more than the giver. In fact, he don't want you worshiping the gift at all. He wants you worshiping Jesus. But he does want you to enjoy his blessings, fill you with joy, and he gives good gifts to men. And I watched this video where, and this church is a younger church. You see a bunch of millennials in there. And I am being encouraged more and more with them. How many millennials? What is a millennial anyway? Is it from when you're born?
Well, I think it ends at 35. That's the cutoff. So I guess I'm in that category.
The millennials aren't really like generations we've seen in the past. They really seek things. They question. They're independent thinkers. A lot of things about these millennials. But this church, I looked in this crowd in this video, and there's a huge amount of younger people in there. And they're worshiping. It's lively, like what we heard this morning. Then all of a sudden, people start yelling, and they're pointing up in the air. And you kind of see it a little bit in the video. There's this cloud swirling around. And then it gets bigger and bigger. And you got to see it to believe it. Whenever somebody told me about it, I thought, well, let me look at this. It got so intense at one point, it was like I don't want to say a tornado, but it was just whirling, and it was full of glitter, full of shiny stuff. And it settled down on the people. They didn't release this. Wow, I would have wanted that out there right away. But he didn't want people seeking just for the signs and worshiping that more than Jesus. Because along the way, Jesus does some incredibly cool things. And man, oh man, was that incredible. I would have loved to have been in that service. In the Bible, it talks about when they praise and worship God. And I'm going to talk about that in 2 Chronicles in a little bit. And the cloud came down so intense, it says they could not stand for reason in the cloud. In other words, everybody just started getting laid out all over the place. They couldn't stay on their feet in the power of God. But what a blessing. Thanks for sharing that, Emily. I'd heard of that, but I never really saw it. But God is just as big anywhere we go, whether we have 20 people or 5,000. In fact, remember, Jesus tended to visit and be, he was birthed right away when he was born in one of the smallest places that people did not think. We always look for the big, the grand, the glorious for God to move. But I don't think he chooses that because he wants to show his power. He wants to move in areas that people would never think. You know, some might say, could any good thing come out of Corinth? Of course. Of course. I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Psalm 77, just listen to this. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. I'm going to say that again. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. He wants to do a lot of great things in your own personal sanctuary and closet of prayer and when we come together. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. So here's an admonition, an exhortation for you to remember what the Lord has done in your past. Now, a lot of people say, no, the past is past. We shouldn't be reveling in the old glory days. And that isn't what the Bible says. We're never to forget what he does. What we put behind us is all the junk Satan tried to do. That is gone forever. But he says to remember his works and his great and mighty acts. So I'm going to go reminisce just a little bit back into 2017 in this church. Because I want you to see and I want you to remember, and I'm not even going to, I won't be mentioning everything. God did a lot here last year, and a lot of things people didn't understand. Some people hit the door, got scared, I don't know why, or got uncomfortable. But God has been moving in this church, if you haven't noticed. I've seen a lot of people born again this year. I remember we started out last January with Bruce Richardson, one of our missionaries, coming in here and sharing how God raised him from the dead, not once, but twice. And it was such an incredible miracle for Bruce, is that it got all over the news. Channel 59, Channel 13, they could not believe what happened to this man. He came back to life when he should have been dead, and he was dead a while. Now, when it starts hitting the news and it's verified by paramedics, that's what I like. That's what I like. You know, when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, I have no problem when somebody declares a healing. Go show yourself to the doctor, because there's nothing stronger than a doctor's paper saying, man, you are clean, you are healed. And that's what old Catherine Coleman used to do. You know, if I go down that road, I'll be talking about that. She's one of my most favorite people in the faith and in my lifetime. I'm giving today the State of the Church address. Now, I guess this is kind of President Trump's going to be doing that for the nation, but I'm going to talk to you about our church. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be very encouraged. But at the beginning of the year, we heard that powerful testimony from Bruce. One thing I've seen in 2017 is an increase of prayer and intercession at this church. How many of you know that that is what brings in revival? A strong move of God. If you're not on your knees, he's not going to move. Every revival I've ever studied through history was preceded by people hungering for God and seeking him in prayer and intercession. So we continue to do it on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, and it's very informal on Saturday nights. You can come in and do that too. But I am encouraging you, be a part of our intercession. If you want to see God move, be a part of that. But I've seen that increase in this church in the past year, and that's very promising. Hosea 10:12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. You know how you break up your fallow ground? In prayer and yielding. The song sung today, the Holy Spirit must move that direction today for yielding. I want to know you more. I surrender. That's how you break the fallow ground up. And then he says, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. What I saw this morning in Bethel Church was a visible observance of God raining down on the people. All this stuff down on them, this beautiful diamond-looking stuff came down on these people. And you know what? You don't have to believe it. But you, when you see it, you won't be the same. Right? I've seen things in my lifetime that I've always been kind of like Thomas. I want to prove, my Bible does say prove all things, and you should. But when it happens to you, you won't be the same. Somebody says, oh man, that guy's touched. Yeah, I'm touched. I'm going to be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, when you seek and break up your fallow ground, he will come and rain his righteousness on you. One of the prophecies given to this church a number of years ago, was that there would be a shifting, there would be a sifting out of people. It would be kind of depressing in the natural because people would be gone. But then I was told in this prophecy from someone else, not me, that then the righteousness of God would begin to rain down like rain on the people. And this is happening. We've seen the growth and development of our worship team here. It isn't just coming in, singing two or three hymns, and going on and hearing a cute little message and going home. We are encouraging you to worship and praise God. I gave sermons on this last year, how important it was to come in here and worship him. You say, Kevin, we're singing too long. Well, how long does it take to get you to get into his presence and put everything out and just truly praise him? He inhabits the praises of his people. And the Levites who were the singers, all of those, Asaph and Heman and Juthith, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in fine linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. 120 people. You think it's loud? And it is loud sometimes in churches. But you, what if I got 120 priests in here sounding trumpets? What would you say to me? But that's what they were doing. 120. And it goes on to say, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Old King James says they could not stand. Couldn't stay on their feet. And I've been in a few services like that. Not that intense. But I've seen times where God came in so strong that people just started dropping all over the place. They just fallen out. Our God inhabits the praises of his people. And in 2017, we've seen a great shift towards worshiping more in spirit and truth in this church. We've had services where the Holy Spirit has moved in the gifts of the Spirit. We've had services where the Lord moves with the spirit of prayer. It wasn't that long ago, and I almost wondered if that was going to happen today, where people began to pray, and they kept praying, and the whole service was prayer. Words from the Lord for people and prayer. And how many of you know that his house is a house of prayer? So if we have services like that and he moves, don't just sit back there and say, are we going to have church today? Start praying. Start seeking God for yourself. Have a real relationship with him. Don't just play church, people. But we've seen services in this last year like I've never seen before in Corinth, services like that. I remember a service last summer where the Lord moved with nothing but praise. There were testimonies through the whole service last summer after we went down to Turkey Run and what God did down there. And you know what? He loves praises. So if that was church that day, that was church that day. What on earth, does the Bible say you have to do this, this, and this in a service? Prayer and praise is so precious to God. But in the last year, we've seen services like that. I've never seen services like that here before. We have indeed become more of what God intended his house of worship to be when we come together, but we can still grow and seek the Lord more. Our bylaws have become more scriptural, lining up with the Word of God than perhaps they ever have before. And in a couple of weeks, you're going to see new additions to the bylaws. And we endeavor to establish this church on the rock, the Word of God. And it has to be governed as such. Because anything else, when the storms come, will wash it away. But in 2017, we have sought more and more to be more scriptural in how we govern. So encouraging. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We've had several testimonies of believers in here that have been very precious, and God moved in those testimonies. And we began to change how we minister to our kids. For example, we have introduced a new youth camp with a strong spirit-filled emphasis this past year that gets serious with the kids and ministers deep within the hearts. And my prayer for this summer is that we have a lot of kids go to this camp. It is intense. They don't just fill up their whole time with zip lines and joy rides. And they have fake go-karts. They have fun there. But man, they get intense. And they get in, the Lord ministers in the heart in a deep way. If you want a lot of entertainment at kids camp, go to Six Flags, right? But I've never seen kids come back from that camp not wanting to go back. My nephew Wyatt, oh my land, I never seen him open up so much. Have you, Gail, ever? And he wants to go back. So this summer, we're gonna emphasize that camp. And please, if you know of a kid, we're going to try to provide as much funds as we can. And if we don't, we're going to come up with them somehow, some way. Because we need to pay attention to our kids. But that shift has occurred in our church to a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled camp. Thank you, Jesus, for this place. This is the foundation of faith that will help these kids overcome in this late hour and not be swept away by the spirit of this age and doctrines of demons. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, and it applies to our kids as well when we minister to them. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. There's nothing worse than somebody coming up here and just putting on a show about all their intelligence and using words this big, and it's absolutely empty. Paul knew from the Spirit of God that our faith needed to stand in him because of his power holding us up. Not your mental intellect. Not your mental intellect. A lot of that was demonstrated last week. You know, I'm going to talk about Turkey Run last summer. We just were going to have a nice little day of a few of us from church, whoever wanted to go, eating around the table. He was grilling chicken. It smelled so good. And it kind of started out that way. I think one or two people were going to get baptized in the creek, and that's always nice, right? It started to escalate. First thing that happened was Andy came over, and he led his daughter to the Lord. And one thing after another started happening. And before you know it, the two people became 12 that were getting baptized. And people were beginning to get saved. And we went to go down to the creek. And the enemy tried to stop us with this big old horde of bees. We had to go another way and go around. But we were delayed. What the enemy meant for harm, God meant for good. Because by the time we got down there, we were just right prepared for the people that were floating through on rafts. And we were baptizing them one after the other. Dave and I were out in that water. What a precious day. Wasn't that precious, Dave? Baptizing so many people that had made a decision to obey the Lord that had been saved. And then here was this family across the creek waving, "We got to talk to you." And they were crying. And they wanted to be baptized. Spine didn't even know who they were. They were from Illinois. And I could tell they were troubled individuals. I could just tell it. I could sense it in my spirit. So we weren't just going to baptize them without making sure they knew Jesus in the first place. So standing out in the water, we prayed with a couple of them to receive. Remember that teenage girl praying with tears to receive Jesus? And then just like a Book of Acts thing, we just immediately baptized her. People were standing up on the bridge cheering. Oh my goodness, what a move of God. And all Donnie was going to do, he might have knew more about that than me, I guess. Donnie, we're just going to have a picnic, right? A nice little picnic with maybe a dozen church members that wanted to come. We're going to do it again this year. And I want you to pray. Because the wind can blow when you least expect it. And the Bible talks about the wind coming and you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Boy, when the wind shows up, you know he's blowing strong. And he blew that day. So precious. Man, that was one of the happiest days I've had in my life that day. It's kind of a day you wish you could just do it every day. Every day. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit, John 3:8. And you need to pray for that wind to blow. Pray for that wind to blow when we don't expect it. Pray for that wind to blow when we expect it. Pray for his wind to blow, because once he blows through an area, he produces life and health and wholeness and most of all salvation. But with it comes all the good things of God. This year we connected with a man named Stan Lovins, and God did incredible things through him. You saw him here last week, and I don't want to lift up Stan too much because he's a man. You want to be careful about that. I remember Stan coming in and talking to our Awana kids, 7 years ago. And I sat there and I knew of him. And I thought, man, that guy's incredible. Because he led about 8 kids. He just gave a simple message and when you get kids' attention, you're doing good. And they were glued to that guy, and he led about at least eight of them to the Lord that night. And I thought, gosh, I'd have him come back here sometime. I hope somebody does that, because I wasn't really in a position to bring him in here then. And I kind of let him go by the wayside. And Roy brought him up, and I said, yeah, that was that guy from Awana. Let's bring him in. And what an incredible last summer. Incredible manifestations of the word of knowledge brought deliverance and inner healing to many people, even last week. People were born again. The service lasted last summer officially till 7:45 p.m. because he was not going home till he prayed for that last person. That is a true servant of God. These are the kind of people we want in this church. These are the kind of people we want to support. So last week, the old preacher gets kind of a complex. Stan shows up and we about hit record attendance. How many of you were not here last week? Raise your hand. And there were some other. We almost hit record attendance. And then I come in. I'm the bad weather, cold weather preacher. And people don't show. But you know what? That's all right. The body's made up of a lot of people. I remember the service where you, Frank, preached. And I think it was you. Was it you that went back to him with the coin thing? Went back to Ron, and everybody knows, except for Frank, that Ron's a coin guy, and he went right back to him. The Spirit of the Lord said, if God tells you to give a coin to somebody, look back at Ron, and he goes, wow. God lets us know, each and every one of us personally, how much he thinks about us and loves us through those little things. He does. Then God did something new in our midst that probably's never been done in all the 128 last year. We had a tent revival. This vision was birthed in Brother Roy Strong earlier in the year. I have to admit, I wanted this to happen But I knew it had to be God because, frankly, we didn't really know what we were doing. Let's just face it. God did. And we stumbled and blumbled on each other. And sometimes the enemy tried to stir up stuff. But by golly, we were obedient to his vision. And God moved powerfully. God moved powerfully. Even one fella on the way to Chicago broke down 2 miles from the church and ended up out here. You know, a man across the street said that he came more than once, and that somebody, and I still to this day, I don't know what he said. It wasn't Stan. I don't know whether it was you, Frank. I don't know who it was. Could have been an angel. He thinks it was an angel. Got him aside and spoke into him words of knowledge and prophecy, and he said, I've never been ministered like that before, and he was absolutely helped me more than you know. Whoever that, he's convinced it was an angel. So we had this tent revival. And the word says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I keep seeking God. I'm asking him for a new thing. And that was a new thing. God is full of surprises. He can continue to do new and exciting things if we just let him and seek his face. I watched as members of Corinth Church came together and worked, prayed, and put their hands to the plow. I saw the enemy fighting with other things going on. But I watched as the devil tried best to interfere with misunderstandings and attempts of strife to stop this event, but he could not. And I watched as our church body moved forward anyway and allowed God to move. People were born again. People were delivered of demons. People were healed mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The sound of the tent revival went beyond Hendricks County and in various parts of the country and perhaps the world as it was broadcast live on Facebook. And incidentally, we're talking about doing that for our services here at church because our great commission is to reach around the world with the gospel. God supplied every cost of this tent revival with even extra as prophesied by our guest evangelist from Texas, Brother Newberry, before the meeting started. And how many of you know OKEB? I like to prove everything out. I'm cautious. I'm slow. He stood out in that yard and prophesied the night before the revival started. This is going to be paid for in full and extra. And I stood there thinking, well, we'll see. Because I didn't know much about him. You know, and the Bible does say, prove all things. And I thought that would be a miracle. Boy, that would be a surprise. We'll see. And it wasn't long after the revival, a check came in the mail. I can't remember if it was for $5,000 or $7,000. It was a lot to pay for the whole entire amount. $5,000 to pay for the whole thing. Not even from the state. And I about got laid out in the spirit right on the road getting the mail when I... 2017, our financial needs have continually been met through the year by the gifts, often secret, of God's people. And I know who some of you are, and you don't want glory, but God sees your generous gift, and He will return it back to you even more. I know that's not why you're doing it, but that's part of the benefit of serving the Lord. Our needs have been met. This shouldn't be surprising when the Lord gives us His promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In 2017, volunteers are continuing to be there for our Awana program as we instill this Bible promise into our children, both from our church and outside our church body. Because how many of you know kids come in here on Sunday night that are either A, unchurched or go to other churches? And if this is our window of time to get them saved and show them how much Jesus loves them, we need to continue doing it. And He stayed faithful. And this is the scripture we give them. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I told myself I wasn't going to look at that scripture. Well, I gave it because we have to do it by memory and I wanna. But you know what? That is what we encourage them to do, to dig into this precious word of God. Put it in their hearts. Hold on to it and never forget it. Faithful workers in our church have continued to be faithful in our church in many areas that we don't always think about. Those that clean the church, work in the nursery, labor in the food pantry, purchase that which is necessary in the church, pay our bills, and balance our books. Others volunteer their time to do maintenance in the church and attend sometimes long board meetings to arrange. I'm glad Chet's not in the room. He orchestrates those if he gives me a look. But sometimes we're in long board meetings to arrange for us to continue to please God by our service here. And many other areas I have failed to mention. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In 2017, our church board of deacons, deaconesses, and trustees filled in with very capable and organized people. Actually, more than I've ever seen since I've been at this church. And they're working hard. And they're picking up the ball and doing things. We're not just talking about it. Such as what I had to let you see. No, I mean, you have no idea how much work that was for Randy to do that. Bible says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them and very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. And sometimes it's unfortunate when there are undercurrents and people stir up strife. Sometimes God does have to wash them out. How many of you know that? And it's painful for a pastor to see that. But I can tell you, I've been enjoying these board meetings more than I ever had. We really need to change them, not to board meetings, that sounds bad, but to vision meetings. Without a vision, we perish, but with one, we do not. But we're having very good meetings. Thank you, Board of Deacon and Deaconesses and Elders. I've observed this board finding big ways not to waste God's resources and save church money. For example, converting our heat to natural gas will save us thousands of dollars in the years have come to put into God's work instead of just right out through the roof. And we have more plans to save a lot more money and be more frugal with our money so that we can not just hoard it, but put it into the kingdom of God. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And there is a faithful board in this church. And they're working hard. They're picking up the ball and doing some great things. And they're trying to be good stewards of that which you put in the offering plate. In 2017, we've recently took on some powerful ministers of the gospel on our mission support list. Brother Karani and Kenyon and Stan Lovings, for instance, are locally, Stan Lovings, who's locally very good soil to sow in. In fact, we may, by God's grace, increase this giving with him. Because we see people, everywhere he goes, people are saved. And that's what we need to see. In fact, when I am done with my teaching on Wednesday night, on the last two gifts of the Spirit, we're working it out where Stan will come in here, God willing, for about 4 weeks. And he's going to teach and demonstrate how to flow in the Spirit. You need to be here because we want people actively flowing properly in the Holy Spirit. So keep that in mind, 4 weeks of him coming up here on Wednesday. And if you haven't been coming Wednesday, come and learn and let God work through you. It's going to be, and who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Something could explode out of that, right? I'm looking forward to it. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. Our teenage ministry is getting long-awaited laborers as Chet has stepped up to the plate to get this started. And Frank Mofert and his wife has heard the Macedonian cry as well. I just want to now hope you didn't mind me announcing that. But he's been called to come here and help with our youth. So man, plug in soon to come help us with our teenagers. I have been praying for this, I know, at least 6-7 years. For effective leadership with our kids. I am tired of the devil robbing us from our kids. And we don't just want ministers to keep them occupied, play games with them. We want deep ministry in the Spirit so they'll change. And I've seen this before. I know some kids that we minister to way back in the 90s, and some are pastors today. And God stayed with them and kept them strong. If you've come to me and expressed desire to help with the teens, please let these folk know, Frank or Chet, and how they can plug you into this very needed ministry. And I know some of you have come to me. The opportunity's there. In 2017, I've experienced some personal spiritual growth issues. And I'm a crier, so you know what? If I cry, I cry. You guys just got to get used to it. I've cried since the day I was born. Personal stuff. Personal growth that I haven't experienced in years. God has indeed moved in our midst in 2017, hasn't he? Didn't he? And there's so many other things I can mention. I look back on this year and it just seemed like a dream. All the neat things that happened. But guess what? Greater things can come in 2018. Let me briefly share with you some vision and things that I'm believing God for. It says in Philippians, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus." We are to forget all the junk and all the stuff Satan tried to do to attack us, and he attacks us, but we're to never forget what he's done, and we're to press forward for even greater glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, "Despise not prophesying." I heard two distinct prophecies over 2018 from Kelly and Chet. And Kelly's not in this church month. It's amazing how her prophecy was right in line with what Chet said a few weeks ago. 2018 is going to be a year, and I want you to mark this. You're going to be on one side or the other. The devil's going to try to devour you. But he cannot if you pay attention to Psalm 91. Stay close to the Lord. Stay in his protection. Just like a hen protects her chicks, do that this year. And he will not be able to touch you. He will not be able to hurt you or harm you. And you will do great, mighty things for you. But if you do not, and you get outside of that, and you wander around here, and you try to do it your way, you're going to get beat up. There's going to be rough patches come our way, but I was assured in prophecy that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So we're going to believe for that. Because how many of you know the enemy does not attack a church, is not doing anything for him? When he sees a body of believers rise up like an army, he knows it's a cry of war. And when he gets back up to the wall, he's going to fight. The first message ever preached in this church, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." I have it on my little preacher card that you give people. The gates of hell are what Satan does to try to keep the gates, try to keep people out. How many of you know that the kingdom is taken by force? We invade those gates, we break them down, and we rescue people that are perishing, that Satan has behind those gates. That's what that scripture means. It's not a defensive scripture, it's an offensive one. So it's time to be in the offense in 2018, but please stay close to the Lord. Pay attention to these prophecies. Stay in his protection. Don't be out here, or it'll be hard to survive. Stay close to him, and you will flourish like never before. So it's just a black and white thing. It's time to build, is what I got on Saturday night. And I'm not necessarily talking about buildings. I'm talking about the kingdom on the foundation that's being laid here at this church, on the complete entire New Testament. It's time to build on the Word of God and build people up, get people saved. And this year is a time to build and to grow. Messages I will have as your pastor may be hard-hitting than before, with things that will not tickle your ears. Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is where we're at. We have to have stronger sermons. I can't just give you some cute little thing that'll give you a warm fuzzy and walk out of here. I have to give you the strong medicine of the times we live in. It goes on to say, these doctrines of demons will speak lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. I will continue to support the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman, regardless of the spirit of this age. I will stand for this word of God by God's grace and help, no matter what comes my way, and you need to pray. Don't think for a minute that the enemy isn't going to come after the church. I'm hearing in Australia now, where they are mandatorily making pastors perform gay marriages, or they're breaking the law. So it's a time to stand and be strong. We know this, it's in Scripture. But this is the church's finest hour to be victorious. I also believe it's important to uphold and encourage the moral conduct among our members and myself that is spoken by Jesus Christ and his apostles and disciples as laid out in the new covenant. Sometimes it's time that we have to address some things that are in the church, that have crept in the church, that we really need to not ignore, that churches are ignoring. Thank you, Denise. I appreciate that. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're there, people. And I can't take care of the whole world unless we take care of our church. We have to be sound in doctrine. We have to be firm on the gospel. We can't be compromising and lukewarm like the Laodicean church. That doesn't mean I'm going to do a lot of clothesline preaching. But I am going to deal with the basics in the scriptures that we're supposed to be, if we're truly saved, walking in, so that people can tell us different than those that are not saved in the world. How many of you know we should be different? When the divorce rate's the exact same in the church as outside the church, we have a problem. It goes on to say, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. And I take it very seriously. That's what we should be doing. Just a moment. I'm getting closer to the end, but I really want to get this out this morning. It is necessary that we go deeper with God and have the kind of faith that produces Book of Acts results. It is, whenever the Lord said, as your faith be it done to you, we're going to get where our faith is. And if you're lacking the faith, don't go jump off a bridge. Just get in your prayer closet and fast and seek for that kind of faith till you strike oil. Don't be discouraged. That's the way it. He spoke to me sometime back when we were praying for your grandson, that I needed to pay the price and go deeper. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to see it. It is necessary to have the kind of faith that can face even the most severe attacks of the enemy and walk through the fire just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. To face a den of lions and turn the hearts of kings as Daniel did. We can have that kind of faith. And to believe God for the quote, impossible. To believe God for the quote, impossible, where we have hit brick walls in our faith before, it now becomes possible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, these are the words of Jesus speaking of the church. Every one of you apply to this scripture. I say to you, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. You have that capacity. Every one of us has that capacity. He didn't just say it was in his 12 minus one apostle, adding Paul again. He said, he that believes on me. John 14:12. I'm tired of those among us being taken over by drug and alcohol abuse, some even to the point of death. We need to wage an all-out war against addiction. I said this last year. By going after the evil one that puts those around us in bondage against it. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. How many of you know when you commit sin, you can become a slave, and a slave can't get free unless one frees him? And that's Jesus. And he says this is a very serious comment that we need to understand. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. Is he not speaking about eternity here? You become a slave to sin. It says you're not abiding in the house forever. It means you're outside of God's protection. That's what it says. The slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. People need to be truly born again, truly baptized in God's Spirit, and truly set free. I'm tired of seeing our loved ones attacked by cancer or serious disease and not see the power of God come in and raise them up in victory instead of it overcoming them. And now I want to say something here. I don't want to embarrass you, Kelly, but my land, what a fight the sister has put up in faith. What a fight. When somebody stands against the enemy and says, you will not take me, I have Jesus, and I'm fighting you with every breath I have, that is the faith that it requires in this church. And I'm tired of seeing people we love taken when they don't have to be taken. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that is your ministry as well, because Jesus is inside of you and he's still doing it. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still am seeking, and you can call me stubborn. They used to call me bulldog at work, because once I or pit bull, because if I chomped into something, I wouldn't let go of it till it was fixed. Sometimes driving people crazy, sometimes making them angry. But I still am determined to have a Celebrate Recovery chapter thriving in this church. Because they don't just talk about a higher power. They pinpoint your higher power to Jesus Christ and him alone, and they use the word of God to deliver you. And I'm tired of being hit broadside over small matters that create strife that we allow instead of walking in love and patience with each other in this church. One of the hardest things to deal with is when the body doesn't get along and they start getting into it with each other. And I'm thinking, my land, there's places in the world where recently they've been having their heads cut off just to survive. They're praying in their next piece of bread to eat. And here we are upset over some small, silly matter. Let's pray and get sanctified and be patient with one another. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And my Bible says every evil work, where there is envying and strife. So if we get rid of that, if we have that, we have every evil work going on in here, right? And then the seers in here and the gatekeepers have to keep praying to keep the demons out of here. And you know, let's make our job easier. Let's not let it in here in the first place. I seek to continue in 2018 to allow the body to minister even behind the pulpit for whatever spiritual and natural abilities God has given you or in any way. If you haven't guessed by now, I am not a pulpit. I'm not possessive of this pulpit. There are preachers that I've thought in the past and they felt like they were the only one that could preach behind the pulpit. I don't think so. This body's made up of individuals that have very strong strengths in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I need them. And the body is complete when we all minister according to 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. So I am not a pulpit hog. And I still seek people out that are anointed by God with gifts of healing, prophecy, words of knowledge, evangelism, to be in here and minister to us, whether it be from within or without. The goal of this church is to have every man and woman and young adult and minister in this church in one form or another. That makes a healthy body. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. What does that show me? When you come together, the body's supposed to be ministering. Just like this morning, we heard words given, you know. I am not the source of it all. Thank God for that. It has to be Christ moving through his body. The elders have approved of forming a prophetic team at Corinth Church. We have some people that are gifted with prophecy, and we want to be responsible in this church, and we're developing probably early on in this year, a group of our prophets so that when people give words, especially those that come in outside the church, they will have to get with this group of individuals, share what they're going to give, so something really flaky don't go out here in the church. The last thing I want is somebody to come out and say, Jesus has changed his mind, Satan's not going to hell. Some crazy word like that. We need responsible people, because it says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. So when somebody comes in here and has a word, we're going to encourage them to go to this group of prophets, share before it ever gets out here in the body. Because I don't want to have to rebuke somebody publicly. I don't want to. And I want our ministering to be done in love. I don't want, if somebody gets a word of knowledge on a young person or somebody in here and you had something very serious going on in your past, you don't want it broadcast all over the church. So you go to this group of prophets, you share, and they get them aside privately and talk. They don't just blast it all over the church. That's a good way to scare somebody out of the church forever. So that's necessary. So look for that and pray for that, because that helps us to be more responsible in the body to make sure words given are scriptural. I'm looking for one more elder in this church. For where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I would like at least 5 elders to help guide us. And what an elder is a pastor. We have 4 pastors in this church now. But I would like to have one more to help carry the load. We seek to have continued improvement in our Sunday school and children's church. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you, Kelly, for putting the schedule together. And we're going to seek to continue to improve it and improve our program back there so these kids get fed good when they're back there. I would like to put in place the start of a new convert Sunday school, and I hope Judy's not here. I've asked Judy Strong to lead this because we've had people saved in this church and we really do nothing with them. We just kind of expect them to survive. There needs to be a class to teach young converts how to walk and to trust Jesus and be faithful. We have about 5 on my heart right now that need this class. And I think Judy's accepted that responsibility. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so you have tasted the Lord is gracious. 1 Peter 2:2-3. I'm working on the better organization of a visitation group for the elderly and sick among us. And I've asked Mickey Scott to help me with this. And I didn't mention Mimi. She's wanting to volunteer, I think, in both of those groups. But we need a better visit our elderly people that can't be here and people that are sick. And I've been going all over to the hospitals. I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm not going to just say, oh, well, I'm just going to let everybody else do that. Because, you know, I'm a pastor. But I need help. There was one week I was at the hospital every day watching somebody clinging to life, and it takes its toll. So we need people to help on that visitation. We don't want anybody laid up in a hospital bed or home and nobody ever seeks them out. We don't want that in this church. I think God judges us and looks at us and measures us by how we treat our widows and our orphans among us and people that are sick. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We need to sow love towards our neighbors more in 2018. We should be the welcome wagon to this neighborhood. How many of you notice that houses are going in, people are moving in and out? We should continue to develop our property with such things as picnic shelters, walking paths, and I am stubborn. I'm going to be stubborn on that too. You probably get sick of hearing it. Along with continuing to develop our kids' playground and open our arms to our neighbors and allow them to access what we are providing, not only for ourselves and for them. Why is this? The world's changed. Used to be you could knock on doors and people would let you in. Nowadays, when people let people in, they end up dead, right? So look at us out here. God's blessed us with a lot. This was given to us. And it says to love your neighbor. And if we make this accessible and let people know here, hey, your kids can come here and play. You can use a picnic. We talked about building a picnic shelter back here. Come out. Come over here and have a picnic with your family. You know, whatever you need, we're here. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. And we have the resources. Hold on. Thank you, Denise. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's what Jesus said. And we need to think about our neighbors. I remember Donnie's wife used to put together a little welcome basket. We need to get back to that. We need to pay attention to who's coming in and out of here and reach out to them and love them. All right, I'm getting ready to be done. I can't believe it's so late here. We're going to pray for new things to happen in this church. We are believing for another tent revival this year. I think it's already been funded again, from what I heard from a donor. So I want you to be praying about that. But I also want you to pray for God to do some new things in here that you can't even think of that will, in such a good way, this is an old 70s term, blow you away. And God can do it. Will you decide today to put your hand to the plow in our church? I just, my desires were everybody here to be doing one thing in this church. I'm not asking you to do 20 or 30 things. One thing and do it well. Be part of the body that's functioning. I know there's not a lot of people here, and there's a lot of good people that aren't here today that do a lot of things in this church. But if you're here today and you don't have a task or a function, we want you to be busy in the kingdom serving God. Will you determine to pray to get direction and serve in that one area God has gifted you here? Come on up here, Alex. We're going to close out.